right, so title of my talk is Impact of Cover Crop and Poultry Litter Subsurface Application on Soil Microbiology. These are my co-authors. I'll give you a brief introduction. The broiler industry, most of us probably consume chickens internationally. It's one of the most consumed meats out there, and as such, there's around 9 billion broilers created per year, and all these broilers create a litter. They defecate. There's a litter supply that's the bedding material mixed with fecal and urine. And so you have this litter source that we're talking about tons of litter produced per house per year. And basically we need to find a way to dispose of it. At least that was the theory 15 years ago. Now we're looking at it as, and thanks to some of my colleagues, we're looking at litter as a valuable fertilizer input. So it's no longer let's get rid of it. It's, hey, let's use it because it's a good material to use. The thing is that it's produced all year long. And so to cooperate with our farmers, we have to find ways so that they can utilize it all year long. So that leads us into some of the soil health aspects that we want to touch on in here. And if you look at a lot of the talks that we've had here at this particular set of meetings, a lot of them have revolved around soil health. We know that this is a very hot-button topic, and so I'm not going to go too far into it here, but we know that 2015 was the International Year of Soil. We know that organic matter is something that a lot of people really harp on. It's something that is really necessary for a healthy soil. One of the methods that we can use to slow or to increase organic matter and to slow the burning of organic matter in soils is to add manure. It's also tillage practices. Also cover crops. These are aspects of this current study that we're going to focus on. One thing you talk to people who focus on soil health, what do we measure? So is it pH? Is it an organic matter issue? As a microbiologist, I say measure micro. That's what you're supposed to measure. But if you talk to all of my fellow microbiologists, I don't think any one of us have a consensus on what to measure when it comes to microbiology. But the whole purpose is we're trying to reach what's going on here in the middle, that nexus right there in that Venn diagram. What's going on between the physical, the chemical, and the biological to really get a better understanding so that we can help our agronomist partners and help them understand what's going on. So that leads us into our study objectives, and we're going to determine the effect of fertilizer application, timing of fertilizer application, and cover crop on cotton field soil microbiology. So, for those of you that don't know him, Dr. Haile Tewaldy gave a talk yesterday, not about this particular study, but about something very similar and some of the same aspects part of this study. And that was the use of subsurface banding of litter. Now, that's a fairly novel approach to application of litter, and that's what this study is going to entail, is looking at that aspect. So, I'm not going to go too much into the design. If you guys want to get more information about this, the experimental design, and if you're interested in more of the agronomy aspect, I urge you to visit Tewaldy's paper from 2015, and you can get more detail about the whole study itself. But overall, give you a brief idea of what we did. We had four fertilizer treatments, untreated control, a standard fertilizer, that was an inorganic fertilizer, broadcast, that is litter that was surface broadcast, typical traditional application of litter, very dusty surface application of litter, and the banding approach to chicken litter broad application. In this case, I'm going to show you a picture briefly here. What we're talking about is the use of this implement being pulled behind a tractor. Chicken litter is right here. It gets deposited in this trench that is cut into the soil. You can see the trenches here. And then the soil is covered over the chicken litter. And this was designed by an engineer named Tom Way at our Auburn ARS station. It's a really cool machine. I urge anyone, if they get a chance to look at it, to go take a look. It's pretty cool. And this is how it delivers the litter, a very concentrated delivery of litter. So it reduces odor. It reduces losses of litter, losses of litter nutrients, these sorts of things. So it's a very novel, nice way of delivering litter to where you want it delivered to. So as such, I'm interested in how does that affect soil microbiology. So some of the other things we looked at was a temporal thing, a fall and spring application of litter. We also looked at a cover crop variable as well, a winter wheat cover crop versus no cover crop. From a microbiology standpoint, this is the stuff I'm interested in. We took a three-pronged approach, cultivation-dependent, cultivation-independent, and high-throughput sequencing. For our dependent approaches, we looked at heterotrophic plate count bacteria, aerobic heterotrophic plate counts, gram-positive bacteria, E. coli, Clostridium, Porphyrins, and Enterococcus. The cultivation-independent approaches, 16S ribosomal RNA, some of the enzyme genes, phosphatase A, urease C, and some antibiotic resistance genes. There are other things that we also looked at, but you'll see, when I initially approached this study, I was tackling it from a pathogen and indicator, water quality, soil quality sort of thing, not so much the soil health. I was looking at it from my public health mindset and quickly realized that there was not going to be much of a story there, so I had to switch it over to a soil health approach. Then we also had high-throughput sequencing. I already showed you that. So on to the results. So first off, the effect of fertilizer. Basically, what we found is that the use of banding litter really did increase our soil microbial activity. And it was measured in a number of things, a number of our parameters, where we could detect increased soil microbial activity, or at least indicators of increased activity. One of which, heterotrophic plate counts in the banding approaches were significantly influenced by the presence of banded litter. This was especially evident during the treatment years. One thing I didn't say was that we did 3 years worth of application of all these fertilizers, and then we followed it for 4 years post-application with zero inputs. So we were just following residual at that point. So during those treatment years, we did see this effect where HPCs were significantly greater in banded approaches than compared to the standard fertilizer and the UTCs. This effect did wane as time progressed, so during the residual effect, we didn't quite see that effect anymore. Looking at gram-positive bacteria, once again, we saw that the banding of litter seemed to increase our presence of gram-positive bacteria. If anyone knows anything about litter, we know that there's a lot of staphylococci in litter, so this is pretty indicative of the presence of litter in our soil samples. Is the presence of gram-positive bacteria. Enterococci, also pretty much the only real indicator, fecal indicator, that we were able to detect. We detected it in the banding, and what was more interesting is we were able to detect it years later. So we're seeing that the banding approach protects our fecal indicators. In this case, and if you did happen to have a pathogen, if you had a pathogen, you could maybe even think that it would be offering that same protection for those pathogens. One of the things I was really excited about, the use of 16S ribosomal RNA in this case, we see that regardless of fertilizer, whether it was broadcast, banding, or the standard inorganic fertilizer treatment, the treatment effect remained in effect even 4 years post-application. Okay, so we had the effect during the application years, and then we still carried that same effect where we had increased numbers of 16S genes in our soil relative to our untreated control. The same thing could be said for urease C, and the same thing could be said for phosphatase A. So we're seeing the presence of at least more microbial activity in those treatments. Now, on to the cover crop and the temporal aspects. Cover crop surprisingly did not have a major effect on any of our measured parameters. I was shocked by that. I was actually expecting cover crop to have an effect. Now, I still need to chew through probably more of the data, maybe see what else I can look at it from various angles and see if there is something to it. But from what I can see, it doesn't appear to be that there's any effect associated with cover crop. Same could be said for our temporal analysis, our fall versus spring application. We didn't see a major effect there as well. Looking at the high-throughput sequencing, and we're very early in our analysis here, This is representing one time point. This is the 4 years post-application time point. Well, we still have to go through our data from during the treatment time, during those first 3 years, we still need to go through that data. But this is our first initial run through our data. And for the most part, when we're looking at our OTUs classified using mother, when we look at that, we're seeing that at the class level, at the order level, we're not seeing a big difference between the treatments. The 12 treatments are represented here. These are combinations of treatments that we're looking at here. And we didn't see a big difference in the distribution of OTU sequences there. When we look at our classifications, our taxonomic classifications, our top 20, it's basically your typical soil bacteria. So it's well represented, and we felt pretty comfortable in the number of sequences that we looked at and whatnot. But we're still very early in this particular part of our analysis. So looking at some of our treatments, we saw that the banding seems to be where the majority of our microbial activity is being held at. Now, that's probably a result of that concentrated delivery of litter stimulating the soil microbes surrounding that litter and also protecting the litter-borne microbes within the litter. Okay, and that's evident of our gram-positive bacteria and evident in our enterococcus that we were able to detect in those banded treatments. We also know that from what we could tell, this is not my first litter study. I've had quite a few now. And from what I can tell, at least in the southeast, it doesn't seem like it's very laden in pathogens and fecal indicators. It seems to be one of the quote-unquote cleaner manures, I would say. It could be the amount of ammonia that's generated in litter. It could be the way they stack it. There's a whole number of effects. But unless you're pulling it directly out of the house, it's one of these situations where I'm just seeing it. It's looking to me to be at least application of litter to be a pretty sustainable process from a pathogen standpoint, from an indicator standpoint, because we're just not finding them and in the litter, and we're not finding them in very high numbers, unless you go directly to the house and pull it out as soon as the chickens leave. That's about the only time we ever do have lucky results like that. We did notice that there was a temporal effect with regard to our treatments. We did notice that the earlier in the treatment process, so when we put out our fertilizers, we did notice that we could detect the effects of banding. But as time progressed during that 4 years post-application, these effects seemed to wane. The only thing that didn't wane were, regardless of whether we put out banded litter, broadcast litter, or standard fertilizer, as I said, we did detect elevated levels of 16S, of urease C, of phosphatase A, even 4 years post-application. We still detected those elevated levels. And that's probably a result of plant and bacterial feedback cycles where the bacteria are happy, the plants are happy, and we just keep that cycle flowing, at least until some of those residual nutrients are gone. And I think even in the standard fertilizer, I mean, we know that those nutrients are probably gone, but that feedback cycle at least is maintaining itself. So that's something I definitely want to follow up on, and because I wasn't expecting that going into that. But there have been others that have shown that effect as well. So as far as conclusions, wow, going fast. As far as some of our major conclusions, as I said, the benefits of the banded approach seem to really show us that we have a higher microbial activity. And this was indicated by a few things, HPCs, heterotrophic plate count bacteria, 16S genes, the functional genes. We do see that we had some higher activity associated with that banding approach. So to me, that indicates that it's probably a sustainable approach. It's probably a method that it helps our agronomists because it keeps all the nutrients in one little spot. It doesn't allow us to lose nutrients to the environment, to the atmosphere. Keeps everything very tidy from a public health standpoint. It also keeps dust down, any concerns with aerosols, these sorts of things. So from that perspective, I think banding certainly is something that we should all at least be following up on. We did detect few indicators in the banding, so even after I just said all that, then the caveat I will add is that whatever indicators are present in the litter, it does seem that banding does protect them, even years later. And that was indicated by our presence of Enterococcus. Like I said, litter appears to be safe from a pathogen standpoint. Now, that could change. This is only from samples that we've collected in the southeast, studies that I've been involved in the southeast. But it just seems to be like litter is one of the more, from a pathogen guy, it's one of the more boring manures. It's not as fun as pig and some of the others. But as my PI when I was in grad school used to say, all you ever like is filth and pestilence. And yes, that is a pathogens. That's the way we think. We want filth and pestilence. As we said, 3 years post-application, a lot of the activity remained high in anything that received fertilizer, whether it was broadcast, whether it was banding, whether it was the standard fertilizer. We did see that the presence of some of these genes still remained high. That was really an interesting finding. I was not expecting that. And that study, I'm not sure if it's still active, but it's something that we could go back and visit because this would now be 6 years post-application. So that's something to take a look at, I think. And as I said, our genomic work is ongoing. We're still in the very early stages of analyzing a lot of that data. We've got a long ways to go on that data. But it does look interesting. At least we can say that for the most part, 4 years post-application, things start to settle back down as far as the diversity and the structure is concerned. Things start to settle back down to the untreated control levels. But with that being said, I will stop and take any questions. From a pathogen standpoint.
And it's
a more complicated way that we sampled it, and I would urge you, I can send you the manuscript and show you what we did for that. But yeah, we had this elaborate sampling scheme, 21 sample points within the row where we laid this thing on top of the band. It's a triangle, and you would have equal distribution of cores coming. It's a whole elaborate thing. I can send you Tuwaldi's manuscript. And we did sample from the band. Yeah, we measured them from the band. We measured them from outside the band. We composited. We did all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, I can send you that. So this was a silty loam, right? Silty loam? Yeah. Yes, we did see some leaching very close to the actual band. But as soon as you got about an inch away to 2 inches away from the band, that definitely dissipated quite a bit. Yeah, you wouldn't see it. It was back to fairly, I would say, control levels. Yeah.
One more question.
Okay. Terry? Yeah, so the cover crop, the band was placed 15 centimeters to the left and to the right of the row, the cotton row, and 5 centimeters below the surface. And then as far as the cover crops, yeah, they were seeded or injected all the way through. Yeah, because what we did is you would have a fall application of that band and you would have a spring application of that band. So over the course of an entire year, you would have litter on both sides of the row. But for every, for fall, you would have one side, and then for spring, you'd have another side. So you'd have that.